Time now for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, live from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Phil Hendry. Along with me is General Galen Shaw.
And a very good morning to you, Phil.
As well as Bud Dickman.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
Robert Leonard.
Good morning. Give a big shout-out to my aunt Mavis right now.
And, of course, Margaret Gray.
Yes, everyone, good morning. I am Margaret Gray, and this morning we will talk, and today... if you're listening to the podcast, we will talk today about Phil's one-man show on the 30th of July, Wednesday night. What are you looking at, Bud?
Just trying to get you to move a little.
Bud, don't get anybody to move anything along.
I'm going to move you along.
Hey, God, she almost jettisoned me.
Anyway, welcome. What do you mean jettisoned you?
She almost hit me and sent me.
What he's saying, I almost hit him and sent him around the world.
All 69 states.
Oh, you...
Hey, watch it, will you please? Christ almighty. Welcome to the program here, Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to make a decision on you two.
What does that mean, you're going to make a decision on us two?
I'm going to make a decision on whether I keep you guys in the studio together or I fire somebody. And to be honest with you, what with Bud having been with me from,
Well, there's some good grammar. What with Bud having been...
Phil, you gotta... What with Bud... He been with me.
No, I'll do it the way I did it. What with Bud having been with me for many years, Margaret, it might be you.
Well, do what you've got to do, Phil. That's all right with me. I'm not going to sit here and have him say things like all 69 states.
Well, I mean, you said around the world.
That...
But that ain't got nothing to do with anything other than her wanting to belt you so hard she sends you around the freaking world, okay?
Yeah, man, what are you gonna make it dirty for? I know what she meant by it.
Yes, you knew. You knew exactly what I meant by that, Bud. You wanted to turn it into something that could coat all of us in your...
Take it easy, Margaret. You know, once again, you start out kind of slow in the morning. You know, you're gonna have to start drinking some hot water or hot coffee or something.
Well, why is that?
Because your voice, your throat gets, I don't know what it is.
Phil, getting up at this hour of the day is not a natural act. It's not a natural act for me or anyone else.
Well, you know, you're talking to people right now who are, even if they're listening to us live, they're back east, so it's 12 noon. And out here, it's 9 o'clock. Most people, even people out here who work, are up, you know?
No, not most people that are up. People that work at night are not up right now.
Oh!
Woo!
All right. So anyway, welcome here to our show today, the Phil Hendry Show. This is our first show that we have done since our live show on Wednesday night. We want to thank Dr. Ed Elcott. I understand that he had a few interesting revelations on his show yesterday, one of which had to do with Dean Wheeler. I had no idea, but Dean Wheeler apparently was responsible indirectly for the manslaughter death, or the negligent homicide or something of Whiff Bailey.
Well, now hold on, because I found out that isn't quite true. Dr. Elcott had that wrong and made the announcement, and we're going to have Dean Wheeler on later to mention what happened. But as I understand it...
Well, see, he called...
Could you shut him up?
But Margaret's talking.
I'm talking. Dr. Elcott...
Yeah, I'm told.
If you tell me to get to it, Bud. Bad thing. Dr. Elcott apparently said that Dean Wheeler had killed Whiff Bailey. That is not true.
He said... He didn't say he killed him. He said that...
Well, yes, he did.
Well, he did, in for all intents and purposes. I mean, he said Whiff Bailey died at the hospital.
Yes, he said that Whiff Bailey had left corpulence and had become...
Yeah, he said Whiff Bailey left corpulence.
Oh, no, man. He said that Whiff Bailey left corpulence and became like mist or something.
What is it? What is that? I don't even speak this language. What do you... Could somebody be specific?
According to Dr. Elcott, using the language of Elcott, the next step, Whiff Bailey died after being thrown through a window by Dean Wheeler.
And the reason why Dean threw Whiff Bailey through that window is very delicate.
Yeah, attached electrodes to the vagina.
Oh, God.
Hey, ow!
Boy, if you had to stop me, Phil, my problems would have been solved.
Well, I'm sorry.
I ain't going to duck, not as glad to say it.
You got a big mouth on you, bud. You got a big, fat mouth on you. Let people say what they're going to say, then you can butt in, okay?
You gave the lick to the vagina.
Well, essentially, you're right, bud, but I wanted to say it.
Well, what's it mean about doing a panel discussion?
You don't interrupt right in the middle of a sentence and finish someone's sentence for them when they already know what it is they want to say. If somebody is done talking, then you naturally kind of just slip in and say the shit that you want to say. And in your case, bud, I underline that word shit. Excuse me for saying things like that.
Well.
No. And then, if they're having a hard time finding the words that they want to say, if they're having a difficult time describing or defining something they're talking about, then you may jump in and say, well, maybe you mean thus and so. But Margaret was on her way to saying what it was that she wanted to say, and you just jumped right in with, yeah, did you lick the vagina?
That's what we're talking about here, bud. If you would just respect that, I would not have the instinct to want to end you. To end you.
God, yeah, but the way she says it.
Well, I don't blame her. So anyway, I'm going to describe it then. What happened was Whiff Bailey came over to the Wheeler's house and was supposedly, and if I'm getting this right, because I actually listened to the Elcott show, and so I shouldn't say show, it's an actual, it's a beautiful new age tutorial experience, whatever, you know.
Well, this guy Elcott, you know, he comes off like he's all humble, but I bet you this guy's got an ego the size of the moon, and when he hears you saying, well, show, he'll probably say, what do you think I am, some kind of a clown? I bet you anything this guy Elcott thinks that you think that he's a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey clown. I'm General Galen Shaw. Your move, Elcott.
What are you going to make it personal for?
I don't want to hear from this guy today.
You won't be hearing from Dr. Elcott. He's a good guy. But Dr. Elcott basically said, in describing what happened, that Whiff Bailey, who's one of their top trackers, what a tracker is in Elcott, is an individual who can, using, it's almost like in Scientology, I shouldn't say Scientology, but it's a kind of a wiring the brain and other parts of the body to see where the Elcar energy is, which is the demon, right?
Yes, the demon is Elcar, and the sense of material or materialism is Epcot. So there's Elcot, there is Epcot, which is the tendency to want to fool around and be very gross materially, and then there is Elcar.
Well, what's Elcot?
Elcott's the religion.
Elcott is the religion, bud. Are you listening, or are you still sitting there playing with your brain before you put it back in your head?
Just never mind. So this guy, Whiff Bailey, comes over to Dean Wheeler's house, and in an effort to track the demon in Emeralda, because it was the feeling of the Elcott elders, the Elcott preserves, whatever the hell they call those guys.
See, that's the part that really wigs me out. These guys, if you get to a high level, you're a strawberry jam. Is that what I'm hearing?
Man, see, I agree with the general there. I've been around a lot of weird religion, man, but that stuff, you know.
Well, you were raised in a Christian faith, Robert.
Yeah, but I mean, we were raised in a Christian faith, but my aunt, my mother, went down to some weird churches, man.
Did they all stand around and go, yay, doo-doo-doo, yay, doo-doo-doo?
Yeah, man, it was all gospel stuff. And kind of just dancing and that stuff. But this stuff, man, forget it.
Well, say what you will, but what we're in the midst of describing here is a situation where this guy, Whiff Bailey, coming over to the Wheeler's house. Now, my understanding is, did they give their okay? You know, this Whiff Bailey didn't just show up and kick down the door, did he?
Well, I would think not. Of course not.
What religion is going to, you know, you can say what you want about religion. You're not going to get too many people that are converting to your faith if you kick down the door to some, you know, you go, well, look at, well, here's where Dean, where Phil Wheeler, or Dean, or me, or you, here's where they live. Let's kick the door in and go in and tell them you're going to believe in Elcar or know the reason why.
Or let no one come back alive.
Or let, very good, bud, or let no one come back alive.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that it was a very aggressive move, and it was something that I think the Wheelers didn't anticipate. So Whiff Bailey came in and began to attach electrodes to Woo. Phil?
Yes, he attached these electrodes to Emeralda's private area, to her... Go ahead, so you can say it, bud.
Don't let him say it, he's giggling already.
Her lady area.
Oh, her lady area, you little...
To her vagina, okay? That's what was said.
God damn, man.
Wait a minute, are you telling me, did Wheeler know this was going to happen?
I don't know. But that was where they felt the Elkar spirit resided in Emeralda. And the way they do that is these electrodes are attached to all parts of the body, and wherever the real creative strength of that individual is, they will read that. But if there is Elkar, if there is the demon overriding that creative strength, they will read that instead. And it was hoped that Emeralda's, it was hoped that, Emeralda's energy would be read there in the larynx, the voice box, whatever. And instead, they picked up Elkar, and, okay.
And Elkar was located...
Yeah, where she gives it up.
Oh, is that right, where she gives it up? So, in other words, Emeralda, they found the spirit of Emeralda in Elkar.
Well, they found the spirit of Elkar.
That's what I mean. The spirit of Elkar in Emeralda. So she screws like a street-walking whore. Is that it?
That's basically it, yeah.
Anyway, when Dean walked in and saw Whiff attempting to get a reading on the vaginal area, that's when Dean went insane, picked up Whiff, threw him through a plate glass window, and he dropped about two floors. I think they were on the upper floor of their ashram home there in Mill Valley, and then he was transported to the hospital. But I don't know whether he died or not. Having said all that, that's what happened to poor old Whiff. Now, is he dead? I don't know. Is he alive? I don't know. Should he be dead? Probably. But we will discuss that. Dean Wheeler coming up here on the Phil Hendry Show in just a second. We go to Bob Bakian with traffic. Bob, what's up?
I'm still out south. We've got a traffic factory. There's a factory that makes a little 10 and 12 with little children. And you got to hit out there and hit down to the hip hop. And I'll tell you right now, Phil, is they don't get that straight out. Of course, they're going to want to do that. On the west side, you got a couple of things working out. And I'm working out and doing my thing out here right now to try to find that. The other thing we're going to be doing is getting off the front line. So you make sure you do that, too, as well. This is Bob Bakian, and this is Bob Bakian Traffic.
Thank you very much, Bob. That was awesome, Bob. You're so marvelous. This is Margaret Gray, along with all of the crew here on the Phil Hendry Show, reminding you that where we have our breakfast is eggs, pork, and you. An intimate experience between you and... Forget it.
What do you mean, forget it?
You guys start laughing every time I...
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh, but I think that describing something as an intimate experience between you and your breakfast... is not what I want to be talking about right now. So,
Phil, they are a sponsor. Do you want me to do it a different way?
You can do it a different way, but an intimate experience between you and your breakfast.
You're talking about you.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you in the general sense of you, if you don't mind.
All right.
This is Margaret Gray, and this is a commercial for... God damn it.
Give me the copy, please. Yes, the Phil Hendry Show. We have breakfast every morning, which is not true, we don't, at Eggs, Pork, and You. And it's a fantastic place to go have breakfast, so make sure you go there. And thanks a lot for advertising on our show.
You know something, Phil? There's going to be some other advertisers that'll hear the way you did that, and they'll say, I wouldn't touch that guy with your penis.
Yeah, well, I hope not.
Good. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Well, you heard it. For any future advertisers, Eggs, Pork, and You, these guys haven't even paid for their airtime. And on top of that, they want spec spots every day. And on top of that, they want us to read that stupid line, which is Eggs, Pork, and You, an intimate experience between you and your breakfast. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But anyway, we will go over to Eggs, Pork, and You right now and talk with Dean Wheeler, who's having breakfast this morning. Dean is at the Eggs, Pork, and You in Palos Verdes. And Dean, you're down from Northern California.
Well, we are, Phil, because Emeralda is going to be singing tonight at Tumblers on the Beacon. which is a club in Signal Hill. Yes, I understand that Signal Hill is a place of oil rigs and roughnecks and very industrial and very, you know, very much a rough part of town. But Emeralda is going to nonetheless bring her beautiful voice and her lovely spirit and the spirit of the joy and the loveliness of what she does to Signal Hill, California tonight. So we're having fun.
And where's Emeralda right now?
She's at the hotel. Why are you asking?
Just want to know where she is, that's all. Is she with you there at Eggs, Pork, and Things?
No, she's not here at Eggs, Pork. I wouldn't have her eat this stuff. No, it's good food, and thank you for the gift certificate, the freebie. Did someone call up?
Yeah, I called up Mr. Wheeler and got you free breakfast.
Well, yes, and was it for two?
Yeah.
I'll just order another breakfast. What we are talking about here, Phil...
Wait, so you're there by yourself, you're just going to order one breakfast and...
Yes, I'm having one now, and since Bud said I've got another one coming for free...
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I don't know how it works, but...
Now, my problem is, Willa, that they gave you a gift certificate for two people?
Yeah, I've got a gift certificate here to Eggs, Pork, and You, and where you are left alone... Jesus.
What?
It says where you're left alone with your breakfast. I don't understand.
Yeah, they're kind of a whack advertiser, so I'm not sure myself. All right, so let's talk, Dean, about why we have you on the program here, and that is the episode having to do with Whiff Bailey.
Oh, Whiff Bailey. I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked, because Whiff Bailey came to my home and had his hands up under my wife's skirt, and that is a fact, Jack.
All right, now what we heard, Dean, was slightly different, that Whiff was there reading the Elkar spirit.
That may very well. I mean, that's what they told me afterwards, but you understand that when a man comes into his home, he blacks out. If he sees his wife and there's another guy there with his hands up the leg, because you don't know what she's wearing, a skirt. If she was wearing pants, then the pants are down. And it becomes even a more of a grotesque violation. I thank God Almighty that my wife wasn't wearing pants that day, that she had on a skirt. Because if she was wearing pants, that means that Whiff Bailey, who was a 22-year-old former model, all right, so I'm already losing with this guy. And he walks in with that shoe-shined hair of his and his ripped upper body, and he's wearing a pair of white cotton summer slacks you can see through and see the red bun hugger underwear that he's got on. I mean, even I almost got a hard on looking at him. And that, you know.
Jesus Christ, Wheeler, you sure sound like a new age spiritual guy with that stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I got thrown off by it.
All right, let's stick to the subject here, which is the perceived violation of your wife.
I don't think that's perceived, Phil. I mean, I think what Dean saw was what it was.
No, not according to the tenets of Elkar, or excuse me, what is it?
It's Elkot the Next Step, Jesus.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, it's Elkot the Next Step. The other one, Elkar, is the demon. Is the demonism.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Not the demonism, that's the demon.
Yeah, the demon, okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't, you said demonism.
Did you guys knock it off? All right, so you walk in, and your wife had he had his hands up her dress.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, and maybe this is the part that I blacked out, and I'm just now, it's coming back to me now. Yeah, can I get the pork chops? Hold on, Phil. Can I get the pork chops? Now, how do you cook those? Rare? Oh, it's pork. You're right. Yeah, I'd like a bowl of grits, pork chops. I'd like a side of bacon. I'm just in a pork. I'm in a pork frame of mind, you know? Uh-huh. What's your name? Susie Q. That's great.
Can we move along here, Dean?
Yeah, hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on the radio right now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of makes me a big man in your eyes, doesn't it?
Not really.
Okay. I didn't get to order all of my breakfast, so she's bringing me the pork chops and the grits, but I've got a whole lot of other stuff I want to order, but you guys are rushing me along, so... Fine.
We don't mean to do that, Dean, but we do have a broadcast we're doing here.
All right. So anyway, I walked in, and now I realize, Phil, that I blacked it out. It was so traumatic. Her pants were down.
Okay, so, and that made you think?
That made me think that...
God damn, man.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, now, hold on. Understand that Whiff Bailey was there to track the L car.
Yeah, okay, Phil. I mean, are you buying that swill? I mean, there was a point when I was buying it when I really felt that the Elcott religion was something that would further me down the path of self-realization. But now, I'm beginning to think it's just a scam so some bum. Some bum. Some two-bit bum.
Dean.
Let me just get this out, Margaret. Some two-bit bum can wander into my house, just wander in, and pull my wife's pants down.
It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. You bet it sucks. And what have I got left? I'm left with sand in my pants. Or however you say that.
Pockets full of sand.
That's it. I'm sorry.
All right. All right. So nonetheless, when you picked up Whiff Bailey and threw him through that window, you weren't thinking clearly.
No, I was not thinking clearly. I was thinking very erratically. I was thinking violently. I remember saying to him, Whiff, you've crossed the line with me now. There was a time when I thought I would forgive you. And I'm saying all of this as I'm holding him over my head, ready to throw him through this window. And he's saying to me, please, Mr. Wheeler, you're going to send me through a plate glass window, and that's at least a three-story drop. And I said, bright boy, smash. That's the last thing that that I heard before I blacked out again. And when I woke up, I was downstairs with the ambulance there, and I was applying a cold compress to Whiff's head. And he was saying to me things that I can't repeat, but all of it ended with some reference to my ASS and what he was going to do to it. So this, and meanwhile, upstairs is my wife, Emeralda. She's screaming, she's crying, she's trying to do her pants up because there's, you know, medevac people up there. It was just...
Right, this was obviously a very, very traumatic event in your home. It took place in your home. But again, we're not hearing anything here, Dean, as to the intent of Whiff. How do you know that his intention was to...
Margaret, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to understand that this guy, Elcott, has got people going out into the world attaching electrodes to people for laughs. I think it's a big, fat... a piece of urban guerrilla comedy. Just let's see if we can get electrodes attached to this chick in her private area. And then when the husband, ha, 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 ha. All right, you know.
So you just think Dr. Elcott is there at his headquarters, wherever that is, laughing his ass off that he's sending people out to do readings.
Well, just I've got two reports here. This came across my desk earlier today. Buffalo, New York. An Elcott tracker comes in from the Buffalo franchise and attaches these electrodes to some guy's sphincter. That was in another upstate New York, Binghamton, New York. They did a reading on another guy's penis, and on and on and on it goes.
All of these are taken off of someone's genitals or private areas?
Most of them, yeah.
Well, we say most of them. Most of them or just most of the reports?
Well, most of the reports that I'm getting, yeah.
Well, how do you know that the overwhelming majority of them are not... doing that, but just out there, you know, doing it in a proper way?
I don't know, but I'm very much leaning in the direction of Elcott, Dr. Ed Elcott, encouraging his trackers to go out and attach the electrodes and maybe turn on a tape recorder so that you hear, you hear the guy going, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to attach this to your anus. And then this guy, Elcott, is back there at the headquarters going, I mean, it did.
Yeah, you're making a big deal out of it, though.
Oh, I'm not making a big deal out of it, Dick, but I'm telling you right now, I can hear Elcott in my mind's ear, not in my mind's eye, but I can hear him in my mind's ear, and he's going, ha, 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 ha. You know that high-pitched laugh that people do when they want to mock you?
Yes, yeah, that's very juvenile.
Well, not in the world that I inhabit. Not in the world of New Age religions. Whenever we get one up on the New Age religion down the street, we always go, and no one sees us doing that because we do it very privately. I mean, if the general public recognized how juvenile and infantile we are to each other, smoke bombs, cat turds in bags that we light on fire, this stuff is going on.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. Get out of here.
No, I swear to God.
You're telling me that you're going up to the front door of some guy's religion and putting cat shit in a bag and setting it on fire?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. And for the first time, I'm...
For the first time, you're coming clean, huh?
Well, I'm talking to somebody. It's possible, you know.
Well, it is a very competitive world.
It may be competitive, but the competitiveness when it comes to religion and New Age philosophy has more to do with probably book sales. Who knows, you know, booking an auditorium so that some other, you know, group can't get the attendance and so on. But to actually engage in silly, I don't believe it. I just don't.
Well, a lot of us haven't thought of what you just said, which is to book an auditorium and try to shut people out of large venues and outsell them in terms of books. A lot of us haven't thought of that yet. We're still at the level of smoke bombs and cat turds and putting a rotten egg in the front seat of someone's car. And that's what's depressing to me more than anything else, because I've been in the New Age religion business since I got out of prison. And I've been trying to elevate it to new levels of sophistication, you know, but I can't do it if guys are still working the cat turd angle. And
you know something? I can't believe that you, Wheeler, are saying the things you're saying. You don't recognize what a load of horse dung all this is, or if you want, burning cat shit, because you ought to be... Why aren't you more, more mature about this?
What do you mean more mature?
I agree with the general. Why are you not seeing what it is you guys are doing? Why are you not, if it's that... if you're behaving that in such a juvenile way with each other, why are you not, as grown men and women, recognizing this right away and actually having a sit-down and coming to some agreement as to how you guys could go out and spread the message that each of you has? This idea of a cat turd, and now this most recent thing, you're telling me this guy Elcott is sending guys out to attach electrodes to a woman's vagina or whatever for laughs.
That's what I'm telling you.
Understand what you're saying now, Dean. For kicks and giggles, Elcott has sent out his trackers and they're tape recording. What indication do you have that they're tape recording this?
No, that's the part I'd like to know about. Did you ever find a tape recorder on them?
You don't have to find a tape recorder on them. It's called a smartphone. Oh, God. Are you kidding?
Well, how do you know they are recording with that smartphone?
I have to assume. I must assume. Just as John Hurt said in Alien, we have to go on, we must go on. I have to assume, I must assume.
I don't care what John Hurt said in Alien. That's got nothing to do with what we're saying here. Do you or do you not have proof that they're recording things?
Well, I will tell you this, Phil. Basing my belief on that cultural reference that's over 30 years old, and frankly, I wish you'd get off that kick.
Well, okay, so I tell you what, why don't you start and not use it?
Based upon my 30-plus-year-old cultural reference there, I have to believe that what I'm saying is true and they are recording it.
No proof.
I have to believe...
No proof.
No, no.
Yeah, there it is.
Hold on, Dean. All right, I don't want to make a big thing out of this, you know.
Well, it's kind of interesting, man. Maybe we'll get on Elcott?
I don't know about getting Elcott on. You know, I'm not that interested. I'm more interested in Whiff Bailey getting thrown through a window. Is he still alive or not?
Let me double check and find out.
Yeah, that's the way you got to find out if this guy Whiff Bailey is still among the living, and he can give us the rundown, the lowdown on the what a man do. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
What a man do.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, we know what you mean, General, and we will take that under advisement. It's the Phil Hendry Show here, philhendryshow.com, and we're very, very happy to be with y'all, and of course the podcast for this show will be dropping a little bit later on. Now, we did not record entirely I just want to let my guys know, you know, we didn't record the MP3 in this baby, so you're going to have to strip the audio out of the video, y'all.
Came in with all my dogs, but I'm trying to leave it you and your friends.
Yeah.
This, then, is Wiz Khalifa with Ty Dolla $ign. You and your friends. I'm General Galen Shaw. Your move.
I want to talk about this show, you know.
Oh, we're going to do a post-mortem on the show, yes. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
This is Bud Dickman, and we take back what we said about eggs, pork, and you. You better not go there, because they're talking all about you. You know.
Don't worry about that, Bud.
Rolling up J's, flying with the stars. Don't gotta ask the price, because you already know. Watch full of ice, no light, it still glows. You and your friends, me and my dogs. Left your nigga to be with my squad. He talk a lot of shit, but he ain't really on. He hit it too soft, but me, I go hard like, ooh-wee, baby.
When you and me go crazy, I want you to be my lady, girl. All
right, Wiz. Girlfriends, I ain't hating. Wiz Khalifa. And I got all this drink rolled up. He's got all those J's rolled up. Black Hollywood is the name of the album, and we do, for those of you who are new to our podcast, it's like I got to explain this. It's kind of weird, but, you know.
Well, don't get into the racial thing, Phil.
No, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You know, I have to explain that I play hip-hop on the show because, talk about cultural references. I'm the first one to say that, you know, man, the older you get, the further away from reality you get. I think the further away from what's going on in the world you get, you know, because you sort of tend to stay with comfortable things. So I try to put myself into places where I may not ordinarily be or listen to things I might not ordinarily listen to. So I sort of listened to hip-hop, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago and started to listen to metal as well at that time. And I like it, personally. I may not understand what everybody's singing about, but, I mean, we roll a lot of that on the show, and, you know, I mean, at the beginning, we got a lot of people who were...
You had a lot of people that were taking exception to it.
Yeah, and it does... It's so funny to me when people, you know... I'm just saying, this generation of baby boomers, you know, we, you know, really thought we were such innovators and really thought we were this and that, but we're just like our parents. You know, you hear something new and you get all cranky and whiny about it. And some of these people are like younger than me. I mean, I like listening to it.
Well, a lot of the imagery in the hip hop is violent. It sounds very dismissive of women and so forth.
Yeah, and then would you listen to that if it was a white guy being like that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mr. Henry.
Well, I mean, I don't see white and black the same way. A lot of people think that...
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. What does that mean? You don't see white and black the same way?
I just see everybody as a product of their experience. I see everybody as a product. I don't treat men and women the same way, you know, not because there's a gender difference, but there's also a difference in terms of how everybody was socialized. I don't treat children and adults the same way. I don't treat some guy in a wheelchair the same as some guy with two legs. You see what I'm saying?
Well, what are you saying? Black people are the ones in the wheelchair? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mr. Harry. That is racist.
I didn't say that. I'm trying to tell you that there are differences in people of every stripe. And you, of course you don't treat everybody the same, which is not to say that you think that they're unequal. I don't mean that. But, you know, I don't want to talk this
Well, that's a very good instinct, Phil, because you're about to go into a speech, and God...
Yeah, go into a speech, Mr. Henry, and everybody's going to start going, bleh, you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay, everybody's going to go, bleh. All right.
Well, let's talk about the show the other night. And by the way, we are checking in on Whiff Bailey. It reminded me, because we just heard Wiz Khalifa, and now we're talking about Whiff Bailey, so I think that's interesting, you know, Phil?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and entertain us with your wit,
Margaret? I mean, it's fine. Go ahead.
So that was Wiz Khalifa, and we were talking about Whiff Bailey. Wiz, Whiff, anyone?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, what do we have to do about it, man? Go into the back and start paddling with my
Hey, ow! No, I didn't say go paddle. You're
Yeah, well, that's what you're inclimating.
What I'm inclimating?
Woo!
All right, wait. Wait, what about the show?
Well, all right, thank you, Phil. First of all, I want to thank everyone. Everyone was so gracious with me and my part of the performance. I was really proud of myself coming out and breaking new ground with the boo 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 boo.
Yeah, what's the name of that song?
Well, I don't know. It's Annie Lennox, who I love dearly, and she's a very dear friend. It goes, ooh, 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 ooh. I don't know the name.
No More I Love Yous.
Yes, are you sure?
Yeah, let me look it up.
No, it's No More. You don't have to look it up. No More I Love Yous by Annie Lennox. She won a Grammy for it.
Well, all right, Phil.
She won a Grammy.
I didn't know that.
She's a friend of yours? You don't know? She won a Grammy. It was a very, very... It was a big album. It was a great song and a big song for her.
Right. Well, I enjoyed doing that. And then, of course, I did do Delta Dawn. I felt that... You're absolutely right. I think you moved about the stage quite a bit.
Well, yeah. See, I was... Robert, you were in the front row.
Yeah, I'm up front, man. I thought it was funnier than hell, man. Yeah, it was.
Well, no, I'm not saying it wasn't funny, but when you started introducing other characters besides the ones that had been planned, you said you were ad-libbing.
Yeah, I ad-libbed a lot in the show, and I improvised a lot, ad-libbed. I mean, I'm always ad-libbing. The show is ad-libbing, but it's also working within a frame, and I broke free of the frame, if you will, by improvising a couple of characters in there. Pastor Rennick came on.
Well, now, yeah, okay, Pastor Rennick, I remember, I was in the bar, and I was talking to Spencer there, the bartender.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's the guy that kept the bar open, so you guys could belly up with the VIP, right?
Yeah, Alan Grooms and his beautiful wife, Laura. She was there, and they were great people, man. In from Phoenix, Arizona, and what nice folks! Really cool, genuinely cool, nice people. But yeah, we went into the bar there. Were you talking to that guy?
Well, yeah, during the show I was.
Because the bartender there, we basically just tipped him a big chunk of change, and he kept the bar open for us as we talked. But what did you hear, General?
Well, I heard you. The laughter was great. I heard a lot of people laughing, you know. So I thought it was.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't a fun show to do, and I'm really. I think it was very successful. But I was doing a lot of moving around that stage in areas that I had not yet blocked, and so.
Now let people know what blocking is. When you are on the stage in certain areas, and you should be there because that's the way that you done it. I mean, that's the way that you
rehearsed it.
That you rehearsed it, yes.
Yeah, but as they brought in new characters, I wasn't really sure where to put them. So at one point in the show, I just was like up there freestyling, you know. And there's a whole thing there with Jay Santos getting into it with Vernon Dozier, and there was another thing with Pastor Rennick, as I said, came out, and then we had Chris Norton come on with our close personal friend Jay Santos, and then we did we read a few things off the cards people had submitted to us. But yeah, I mean, I did a little freestyling in there, and I'm not sure.
Well, if you're not comfortable doing that, Phil.
I am comfortable doing it, but I realize now one thing, that in a theater piece, if you're doing something that's like a theater or a theatrical presentation, then sticking to the actual script is the way to do it, as opposed to free-forming off of that, because you've rehearsed it, you've blocked it, and this is exactly what you know that you're doing. If you're improvising off of that, that's my radio instinct, though.
Well, that's just it, you know.
Yeah, you do it on a radio.
You're imblibbing and you're ad-provide. What do you call when you imlib? Or you imlib? What's that?
If an imp ad-libs?
If an imp ad-libs. Are you kidding or something?
He's trying to be funny.
What do we know? What do you mean? I don't even know what you mean.
Oh, quit crying, man. What do you mean imp live?
I didn't say imp live. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. That was a movement that, Robert, you know about that.
Yeah, imp live. I mean, well, they didn't want to pull the plug on that imp.
There was some kind of a deal. They didn't want to pull the plug on an imp that was on life support, right?
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking. God, did you hear that?
Oh, my God, Phil, you went, what are you talking about? Phil, it was a news story about 4 years ago that the guys were reading about an imp that was on life support.
What's an imp on life support?
Well, my assumption is it is a mythic creature only about 2 inches high, and this thing was dead. I mean, they were going to pull it off of oxygen.
And you guys are saying this existed?
No, it was a story they were reading in the newspaper.
You know, I'm either I get committed to a nut bin or you guys do, but we can't keep doing this.
Look, wait a second. When you said imp live, it made me think of the story we were reading about the imp.
Yeah, I know, on life support. What's imp live?
That was the group of people that gathered outside of the hospital.
Yeah, they were all little imps and they had signs. Imp live, right? They didn't want to have it taken off a respirator.
Yeah, but it was like a tiny one.
It was a little tiny respirator for an imp, and the whole thing is very silly. It was a story that they were reading it was serialized in one of the newspapers.
Yeah, well, I keep these things, you know. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, but Senator, you all right?
I'm just, I don't know whether you guys are pulling it, pulling me, pulling mine, pulling yours. Not yours, Margaret.
Yeah, you don't pull, don't even reference me in that.
Well, because you don't have nothing.
Don't do it, bud.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but okay, no, it's got nothing to do with Imp Live.
It was a movement among the imp people to keep this imp from being unplugged and stuck in the ground, wherever they stick an imp in the ground. I mean, all you have to do is take a spoon and you throw it in, and then you spoon the dirt in. Oh, you know what? F you, Phil.
Hey, man, don't say that to me. Come on here and talking about Imp Live.
It was a movement of the imp people.
Get out of here. A movement of the imp people. And they take a spoon. That's all the dirt you need to displace there, man.
Well, Phil, I saw the story.
All right, well, if it's a story, tell me. I mean, don't tell me. You guys are talking about it like it happened. You know.
Well, you think, what, you think an imp is going to... Oh, wow, Mr. Senator, you think an imp... They would spend the money like that?
Yeah, why would they waste money on an imp life, you know, what do you call a life resuscitator? Why would they do that? How much money is that going to cost the hospital to get a life support machine about that big, and I'm holding my fingers, ladies and gentlemen, about the length of what I imagine Bud's penis to be? I'm kidding, Bud.
Yeah, see, she gets to say that. You know?
That's really rotten of you, Margaret. When you would piss all over him for that comment.
What? That's something he might enjoy.
Oh, my God.
All right, shut up. Look at this copy. You guys, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil, but I will not be treated that way or spoken of that way.
Well, then don't speak of other people that way. Imp Live, the life support machine's about this big. Oh, about the size of Bud's penis, you know. So in any event, what you got here is improvising. We're talking about the show. And you mixed up the words, or somebody did. It was Robert?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, ad lib, and it came out Imp Live.
Okay, so I was ad libbing and improvising a few of the things, and I don't think that you really want to do that. I think you want to stick to what is what you have rehearsed and what you have planned, and that's where I'm going to refocus the efforts of the show. Whoa. I think what I will do, though...
I was going to say, you should incorporate those elements into the show as you move along.
I'm going to. I'm going to incorporate Pastor Rennick, and I will incorporate Vernon Dozier. I have to do a little bit more of, spread the characters out a little bit more and work on the physical characterization a little bit more. Because when we got really going fast, you don't have really time to... you're not even thinking about going into character physically. You're just spouting, you know, lines and stuff. But we had a great time, and afterwards we went out and signed autographs and took pictures with folks, some of which you can see on our website at philhenryshow.com, also on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/philhenryfans, PHANS. That's how we spell fans around here. And you can see them, maybe one or two, I think we posted on Twitter. And many, many thanks to everybody that was there. And I was talking about Liz Gerna, who has been to all of our shows, and she is just a sweetheart. I gotta just say thank you again, Liz, because I think it's cool if someone appreciates what you do so much that they go to all the shows, you know?
Well, she's a very gracious young lady. She's also a singer-songwriter herself.
Yeah, and we're going to, as much as we can, support Liz when she's doing a gig and, you know, talk to you about where she's at and...
Well, so in other words, you know, a quid pro quo.
Yeah, you know, one hand washing the other, as they say. One person supporting the other... in this struggle called life. All right, we're going to be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
This is General Galen Shaw. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Your Move. You know, if you're a member of AARP, which is the Medicare Supplement Plan program, this is not a commercial for them. You may see the TV commercials, though, with that woman. She claims to be at 61 or 62, and maybe she is, but she's put together real good. Now, if anyone out there knows her name or has her phone number, God almighty, would I...
You know that Patsy is listening?
Patsy doesn't listen, and I don't mean it because I want to have sex with a woman. I just want to sit and have coffee. Is there something wrong with that?
Well, General, you know...
No, don't General me. I want to sit and have coffee with a woman, and if I do have the good fortune of having lunch with you, ma'am... If you wear something that's very loose and very summerly, because it may be hot.
Summer Lee or Summery?
Well, the word summery scares me because that's relative to a firing squad. And I. Who's she?
This is a guy singing.
Oh. Sounds like my mother-in-law when she was still walking the earth.
What does? What could
I do? Whoever this is singing, it sounds the way. That's my mother-in-law. There was no help, no help from you. Oh, God, that sounds exactly like her chewing my ass out about. She bitched me out about something early on when we. And she'd be screaming like.
That's a hell of a thing to say about your mother-in-law.
Well, I said it.
Your mother-in-law bitched you about what?
None of your beeswax.
Well, that's Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
Yes, Phil, I know that Brian Johnson. I hear you, I know. All hail, you know, all hail Elcott.
All right. Or as they say, all right.
There's another cultural reference that's about 40 plus years old.
I know. I'm very sorry. I got to start watching television and stuff, man. You know, like at night, and check out a lot of the things that people want me to check out. You know, because when I do fall upon something that is a that's a really cool looking thing, then I'm all over that like white on rice and. So I, you know, it's just that I'm a lazy guy, man. I do this show, and there's a lot of other things. By the time the evening rolls around, I don't want any more homework, you know.
Well, but you see, Phil, that's the whole thing. When you're off duty, you're really not off duty. You're always on duty. That's the mindset, of course, of the military, an individual like myself, you know.
I know. I understand that. But I'd rather just when I'm off duty, I'd rather be off duty. And I think I told myself at one point here in the last year or two that. Come what may, I was going to enjoy every day, every show that I did. Because, you know, I was coming out of a, you know.
Well, Phil, don't keep going on and on about how the radio career was a wretched, disgusting, despicable thing. And how every day you wanted to cut a big fat artery open and watch it just spurt as you lay in the tub.
Will you get out of here? I never said anything of the sort.
Am I wrong?
Well, Mr. Henry never said he wanted to spurt. And anyway. Oh, my God, that's dirty.
Oh, he's thinking about a penis.
Hey!
God damn.
Watch it.
Phil, don't keep holding me back. One good hand around his throat, I can tear the throat and the entire neck out from between the head and the shoulders. Guess what?
No head.
No head, exactly.
Well, I doubt it.
You doubt? Are you kidding me? So if I...
Well, I think he understands the anatomical reality of that. I think he's doubting that you could do it.
No, I didn't say that.
You want to watch me?
No, do it.
Hold on. That you would do it, okay?
That's the only thing that saves you, bud. The decency of my heart...
Yeah, and Mr. Henry's stopping you.
But more the decency of my heart.
Let's just agree that, Margaret, you would never do that because if you killed him, I'd kill you.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's a... Woo! Boy, get a load of that, you know.
Well, what's weird about that?
I mean, you're looking me in the eye and you're saying you're going to take me down?
Yes, I'm taking... If you did that to him, how would you feel about that?
Get my husband, please.
No, we're not getting...
Get my husband, please.
No. By the way, that was another thing. We had Frank on the stage the other night, and he completely fell apart. I mean, he got his genders right.
He was confused as to whether he was talking about gay people or not.
Yeah. Frank Gray, in my opinion, that cat was definitely not of this world the other night. Hey, Frank, how you doing? It's Phil Hendry.
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Great. Can we talk to you?
Yeah.
How and so you're at the office or?
I'm at the office right now. I'm about ready to go out to a meeting here.
Frank, Phil was talking and he said that if I ever killed Bud, that he'd kill me. What do you think about that?
What do I think about if Phil killed Bud and then Bud killed you or?
No, Phil said that if I ever killed Bud, Phil would kill me.
If you killed Bud, then she'd kill you.
No, Bud wouldn't.
I didn't say that. I said, if you killed Bud, then Phil would kill you.
That's what Phil said he would do. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that if you killed... Here's the thing that I don't understand. You're not killing Phil, you're killing Bud.
I'm killing Bud, yes.
And then Phil said he'd kill you if you killed her, meaning Bud.
If I killed Bud.
Right, all right. So, Phil, if I've got this right, if he killed her, then you would kill him. And that's why he called me, right? Because he wanted to know what I thought about him killing you or killing her.
Yeah, no, not killing Bud. Just what you thought about me. Not him, not her killing me, but me killing her.
Oh, you killing him. All right. Well, what do I think of it? I would be very, very sorry that I lost a lovely, lovely wife like him. You know, what do you say when your life's partner is taken from you? He gave birth to our son, Jason J. Delmonico. She would be destroyed, as I would be destroyed. His father, having lost a daughter, she would weep openly. I mean, imagine that. His father loses the daughter that he was. And then, of course, is the mother. He would be bawling like a bitch, which I can't. God, I'm beginning to get...
Oh, Frank, knock it off, will you?
What?
Pretending like you're all emotional.
Well, I...
He was laughing, Phil.
I thought I detected laughter.
Okay, I was trying to cover it up with pretending like I was crying. God damn.
Well, Frank, you might as well be honest about it. You think the whole thing is really funny? That if my mother found out that I was dead and she was crying, you think that's...
Because the whole idea that anyone can kill you is completely off the table, Margaret, okay? Why don't we just go ahead and say it? I don't believe you can be killed any more than they'll ever really truly kill Godzilla. And I don't mean that as an affront to you. You know, I'm telling you, Margaret.
So you're comparing me to Godzilla. Thank you very much, Frank.
Margaret?
Thank you very much, Frank.
I'm not saying that you're Godzilla. She was the king of the monsters. And if Godzilla was thinking about you, she'd be saying, he is a beautiful human. I think I'll go and squish him and see. And I want to destroy the beauty that is Margaret Gray. I want to squish him under my big Godzilla foot. Okay? That's what he'd say.
Well, all right. That's a good recovery.
Thank you. Now, Phil, I would dare say, as much as I love listening to your show, and I've turned people on to you up and down the coast and across America, in Europe, even when we were traveling on business in China for the Olympics, I said to the Olympic chairman over there, this is a guy by the name of Wing Hao Morrissey. Isn't that interesting? He had a Western name.
Wing Hao Morrissey?
Yeah. This was a young lady. He had been the head of the Olympic committee over there for the previous year, and he was now married, and his husband was a heavy hitter in the Communist Party. But I even said to Wing Hao Morrissey, I said, I know you're a woman, but I think you'd really enjoy listening to the Phil Hendry show. And he said, you know, he giggled, as young women would, and said, me no speak, you know, all of that jazz. So I said, well, I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you for the plug there in China. I appreciate that.
No problem. But at the time, they were just getting internet, and they also had smartphones. I said, hey, have you got the TuneIn app? And he said, what's that? And I said, it's right here. And he said, oh. And then took the phone and threw it in the river and said that it was reactionary and counter-revolutionary. And I said, well, this isn't really a communist state anymore. And he goes, yeah, you're right. And then he just went into a shop to buy tampons. So I have to tell you that everybody's a fan, Phil. I think the more people find out about you, the more fan they're going to be, you know.
All right, Frank, you're a good man. Thank you for talking with us and clearing up the whole... So you don't think I'm going to kill Margaret any more than you think that Margaret will kill Bud?
No, I don't think so. He's not killing anybody, okay? He's got to get home and make dinner. Oh!
Oh, spoken like a real chauvinist pig, Frank.
Oh, hey, you know, if the shoe fits, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, you know what? My shoe fits right up your ass. I'm Margaret Gray.
Now, wait a minute. You don't get to have the last...
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah, Ms. Gray.
Thank you.
My shoe fits...
You said my shoe fits where?
My shoe fits right up his ass. That's what I said. I mean, I say that all the time. Every time Frank says if the shoe fits, I say, well, it fits up your ass.
Yeah. Well, listen, folks, speaking of something fitting right up our ass, this show...
No, I'm telling you, Mr. Evans. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but this show's going to fit right up your ass.
Shut up. This show actually was pretty goddamn good, if you'll pardon my French. But we do have to leave you now. It has been one of those weeks. It's been a nerve-wracking week. And here's what's going on today, just so you know, folks. We've got to cut tomorrow's show for our sixth-day BSP folks. We got to cut tomorrow's show for our sixth-day BSP folks. We have to do our classic podcast, and then we're heading out to the West Side. Bobby Dooley and I are going out to interview Dr. Drew for the Bobby Dooley podcast. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's, you know, there's a lot going on. What can I tell you? So I want all you guys to, you know, remember to, baby, don't forget to remember.
Oh, not that song, Phil.
All you guys just remember to join us throughout the weekend for all the stuff that we have, you know, going on. And what else? That's it. All right, we'll leave you with Drake here and Lil Wayne, Drake and 2 Chainz and Big Sean.
I cannot complain. I cannot. I don't
all me.
Know how much I really made. I forgot.
This could be Drake singing about all the money he's got. So just don't let it piss you off or anything.
Well, I don't like this guy telling me he's got. I don't care if he's got all this money, but 2 Chainz. I'm sick of him going 2 Chainz.
That's all me for real.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, on the Sideshow Network. Oh,
wow.
She want all the fame. I hear the shit all the time. Since you love me, I said, baby girl, fall in line. Okay, made a million off a dinner fork. Watch me switch it up, walked in. Ill nigga alert, ill nigga alert. You need that work, I got that work. Got bitches in my condo. Just bought a shirt that cost a Mercedes Benz car. No, from the A to Toronto, we let the metal go off. And my dick so hard, it make the metal detector go off. This that sauce, this that dressing. Chief on chief, nigga, God bless you. If having a bad bitch was a crime, I'd be arrested.
Got everything, I got everything. I cannot complain, I cannot. I don't even know how much I really made. I forgot, it's a lie. Fuck that, never mind what I got. Nigga, don't watch that, cause I came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me for real. Came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me for real. I touched down in 86. Knew I was a man by the age of 6. I even fucked a girl that used to babysit, but that was years later on some crazy shit. I heard your new shit, nigga hated it. Damon Wayans, homie, don't play that shit. I get paid a lot, you get paid a bit. And my latest shit is like a greatest hits. Got that. Ain't no wishing over on this side. Y'all don't fuck with us, then we don't fuck with y'all. It's no different over on this side. Got that. Should I listen to everybody or myself? Cause myself just told myself, you the motherfucking man, you don't need no help. Cash and checks, and I'm bigging up my chest. Y'all keep talking about who next, but I'm about as big as it gets. I swear y'all just wasting y'all breath. I'm the light skin, keep swearing. I'ma make it last forever. It's not your time, cause I ain't done yet. Look, just understand that I'm on a roll like Cottonelle. I was made for all of this shit, and I'm on a roll. Box office sales, I'm getting paid for all of this shit. Ask you to please excuse my table manners. I was making room for the table dancers. Cause if we judging off your advance, and I just got paid like 80 advances. God dang. Got everything, I got everything. I cannot complain, I cannot. I don't even know how much I really made. I forgot, it's a lie. Fuck that, never mind what I got. Nigga, don't watch that, cause I came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me for real. Came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me.
Ho, shut the fuck up. I got way too much on my mental. I learned from what I've been through. I'm finna do what I didn't do and still waking up like the rinse do. Not complicated, it's simple. I got sexy ladies, a whole bins full. And to them hoes, I'm everything. Everything but gentle, but I still take my time. Man, I guess I'm just old fashioned. Wearing retro, that's old fashioned. Nigga, see what I'm saying? No closed caption. I paint pics, see the shit. Good sex, need to hit. Keep a bra on the flow, year round like
season ticks, I plead the fifth, drink a fifth, load the nine, leave split, in a half, smoke a half, need a zip. My new girl is on glee and shit, probably making more money than me and shit. I swear to God, I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got 99 problems, getting rich ain't one. Like I got trust issues, I'm sorry for the people I pushed out. I'm the type to have a bulletproof condom and still gotta pull out. But that's just me and I ain't perfect. I ain't a saint, but I am worth it. If it's one thing, I am worth it. Niggas still hating, but it ain't working. Little bitch.